Welcome to this edition of Cannabis Sports Medicine. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us on the phone, we have Michael Sindrich with the Gridiron Cannabis Foundation. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
A lot of people who have followed my reporting on this have heard my interviews with prior former NFL stars like Jim McMahon and Ricky Williams, Marvin Washington, and so forth. And we always referred to them as being part of the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. So for people out there that might not know about the switch, what's the difference? Why are you now a foundation?
Well, you know, we still have the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition, and we initially started the coalition for the purpose of education, research, and treatment. And we were very strong on the educational platform and started to get involved in some research projects. And then, you know, throughout the course of operating the coalition, we realized that the majority of the work we were doing was essentially nonprofit work. And so we decided to set up a nonprofit foundation. And so, you know, 501c3 organization, we have our documentation pending with the IRS. And, you know, that way we are a lot more flexible as far as being able to accept charitable donations and really just really focusing on the nonprofit work that we're doing.
So does that affect people who might want to donate to your organization as far as being able to take a tax deduction or something like that?
Absolutely.
Well, that's fantastic news. Now, another aspect of this I find interesting is, you know, we hear from the NFL players about this issue a lot, but are you getting interest from people in other sports? And I'm thinking particularly boxing and MMA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've spoken with boxers, you know, people involved in MMA, baseball, basketball. You know, I think when we started the coalition, there weren't as many athletes really coming out in support of medical cannabis and cannabis as a treatment for these different injuries and illnesses that athletes suffer. And I think we helped to bring some attention to this issue. And through that, we've been contacted by athletes in a wide array of sports that are facing similar issues, whether it be brain-related or, you know, chronic pain.
And of course, we hear a lot about that. The opioid epidemic is ravaging America, and we hear so much of these football players whose team doctors are just pumping them full of these really powerful opioid painkillers. What is the progress on working with the NFL on this issue?
You know, it's very slow progress. We've been trying hard, but I think as far as the NFL's position, they need to see more evidence. And we believe the evidence is out there, but in establishing the foundation, our goal is to have treatment centers where players can come and basically detox off of their cocktails of prescriptions that they've been taking in many cases for decades and be introduced to natural holistic treatments, specifically cannabis-based treatments. And we want to monitor them. We want to see the impact that cannabis is having on their overall health and ultimately be able to present these findings to the NFL. And we're hopeful that is what they're looking for and that we can really change policy when it comes to cannabis use within the NFL.
Recently, the NFL announced that this next oncoming season, they're going to be allowing the advertising of hard liquor. Now, they've previously allowed beer, of course. We see plenty of beer ads on NFL telecasts, but now they're adding hard liquor. But in the same document, they list the things they will not advertise. And of course, a lot of things in there make sense as far as violence or, you know, anything that's derogatory racially or sexually or anything like that. But they also put marijuana on there. They specifically cite marijuana, where in the past they hadn't specifically cited such a thing. They just kind of lumped it in with illegal drugs. What do you think of this development? Does this bode well for your organization or not?
Yeah, it doesn't sit well with me or with, you know, many of the players that we work with. As we all know, liquor is a very toxic substance and results in a lot of harm in our society. And, you know, it is legal. And you know, because it's legal, people are able to advertise it. Players are able to use it. And then we have cannabis, on the other hand, that is, you know, natural. People are using it for true health purposes. And the NFL is not allowing any advertising related to cannabis or cannabis businesses. And, you know, I think that just shows how far we still have to go in this whole process.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating when you look at the map and you find out that 3/4 of the NFL teams play in states with medical cannabis laws and 1/4 of the teams play in states that have adult use legalization, at least if you count the team from Washington, D.C. is actually playing in Washington, D.C., which they don't really, but we'll count that for this purpose. Looking at other sports leagues, aside from the NFL, what is the progress on their acceptance of medical cannabis?
You know, it seems like there's been more progress in some other leagues as far as a more of a hands-off approach. And you know, we just haven't seen that from the NFL. I think, you know, anytime, that every week, it seems like there's a new NFL player that you know, testing positive for cannabis and getting put into the program. And it's just, you know, it's bad for the NFL. It's bad for the players. You know, ultimately, we want to see these people healthy and have access to the best possible treatment. And right now, they're being deprived of that.
One other aspect of this marijuana in the NFL issue that always concerns me has to do with the college prospects who come out. They're all stars in college. They're highly sought after draft picks. They're expected to go in the first round. They're expected to get millions of dollars in contracts and signing bonuses. And then it's revealed that they test positive for marijuana. Their stock drops. They end up going in a later pick in the round. They end up losing a lot of the money that was expected in their contract. I'm thinking of guys like, you know, Laramie Tunzel, for example. Has anybody in the foundation worked to calculate just how much has been lost to these players' salaries, their potential salaries, due to the marijuana issue?
You know, we haven't, and that would be a very interesting study to undertake to try to determine, you know, how much lost revenue we've seen based on cannabis usage. But no, that's not something that we've done up to this point.
Another thing I think about also is, are some teams, some organizations more proactive on the marijuana issue than others? And I'm thinking particularly like the Indianapolis Colts, and their owners and coaches tend to be really anti-pot, but maybe the coaches on the West Coast aren't as bad, or is it pretty uniform throughout the league?
No, you know, I think there are certain teams that take more of a hands-off approach to this issue. I think a lot of it just goes with the politics of the team and the owner and what their personal views are on this issue. And you'll have owners that, you know, understand that there are players that are using this as a medicine and that it does have legitimate medical use. Just, I mean, it's similar to, you know, society in general. Some people are for it, some aren't. Unfortunately, a lot of these owners aren't for it. And, you know, that attitude trickles down throughout the rest of the organization and ultimately to the players. You know, they still have duties with regard to the NFL, but, you know, as far as how they're going to approach it with the players, you know, some take a little bit more of a hands-off approach.
I know that this is all tied up in the collective bargaining agreement between the National Football League or Players Association and the NFL itself. What is the timetable as far as renegotiating this particular contract? And do we feel positive about the chances that some good change might come of it?
You know, the timetable is still a little bit uncertain on it. I feel confident that we will see some positive change. You know, it will take some time. I think it's going to take more and more players coming out in support of the use. I think it's going to take the, you know, general public. And I believe that we do see, you know, people across the United States now that are in favor of medical cannabis that may not have been, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But it's going to take additional public support. And you know what? It may take some change in regulation, change in laws on a federal level for some of these teams to really start feeling comfortable allowing this usage and for the NFL to ultimately adopt medical cannabis as a treatment for their players.
You know, it's one thing to consider medical cannabis use by professional athletes who, aside from, you know, a few high school guys that jump into the NFL or the NBA immediately, for the most part, these athletes are 21 and older. Is there any push for recognition of medical cannabis use at the college sports level? And considering that some of those college players could be even just 18 years old, is that a problem?
You know, I haven't seen a large push on a college level. I think it's extremely important for college players to start having access to the best possible medicine early on. These players are seeing, you know, just as many hits to the head as NFL players are. But, you know, I think that generally speaking, everyone is kind of looking at the NFL to set policy when it comes to cannabis use and medical cannabis use. And once that policy is set, I have a feeling that you know, the NCAA and, you know, some of these different, you know, large colleges that carry weight in the decision-making process will start to look at this issue and try to determine, whether cannabis can be used by its athletes.
I see. So Michael Sindrich with the Gridiron Cannabis Foundation, you guys are doing some great work on getting athletes to speak out publicly. Does your foundation provide speakers or athletes to speak to particular events?
Absolutely. We have a list of athletes who are interested in providing education on this topic, and depending on, you know, what kind of event it is, where it's located, we have people that are generally interested in appearing and just sharing information and telling their stories. And I think that that's extremely important right now, is to get the message out, whether it's an athlete or even a non-athlete that has seen the medical benefits of cannabis. You know, really what we're trying to do is we're trying to increase the public support for this issue, because the more and more public support we get, you know, ultimately that will impact the laws. And really, in the end, the goal is to impact policy in the National Football League and in other sports leagues.
Yeah, and speaking of these sports leagues, we focused on male sports. Do you have female athletes that are involved with the Gridiron Cannabis Foundation as well?
You know, we've spoken with a few female athletes, not as many as we'd like. And if there are any listening out there, please feel free to contact our organization. We'd love to have you on the team.
Yeah, let's give them that contact information. How can they get in touch with you?
They can contact us at gridironcannabis.org or mike@gridironcannabis.com is another way.
All right, Michael Sindrich, thank you so much for all the work you're doing with Gridiron Cannabis Foundation and trying to help these athletes to protect themselves, to treat themselves, and to avoid the painful, powerful opioid painkillers that are such a problem in this country today. We appreciate the work you're doing, and good luck.
Thanks a lot, Russ. We appreciate it.